Good morning. So thankful for the presence of each and every one. Thankful for our members, but especially thankful for our many visitors this morning. You indeed are our honored guests. This morning, we would like to talk about a subject entitled Back to the Basics. A disturbing trend seen too often in many churches is a lack of interest, a lack of enthusiasm, or lack of concern. For some, we occasionally go through the motions without much sincerity of heart or zeal in our singing, praying, Bible study, or remembrance of the Lord's death through the Lord's Supper. The problem might be akin to an athlete or sports team which is in a slump. Such a person or team goes through the motions, but they are not performing up to their true potential. The solution in sports? Work on the fundamentals. The same is true with Christians. When we find ourselves in a spiritual slump, we need to get back to the basics. Concerning the church at Ephesus, our Lord said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. In the lesson, we would like to stress some of the fundamentals, or basics, that we need to get back to whenever our lives are in a spiritual slump. Our first suggestion would be to strengthen our faith. A scriptural definition of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. The NIV may be helpful. It reads, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Vine describes faith as a firm conviction. Some have suggested a description of faith as trust plus obedience, as faith without works is dead, James 2 and verse 20. When we consider the importance of faith, we'll notice that faith in God is essential to pleasing Him. As the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Faith in Jesus is essential to finding forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus said, you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins, John 8 and verse 24. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name, that is life through his authority and power, John 20 verses 30 and 31. Without faith, the only alternative is doubt accompanied with fear, as Peter experienced when he asked, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? That's Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. If we'll strengthen our faith, we should remember that it is the Word of God which is designed to produce faith. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Through diligent study of God's Word, we can strengthen our faith. When we find ourselves in a spiritual slump, we should pick up our Bible and allow it to rebuild that confident trust that we once had, it will also help us to fortify our hope. By way of defining hope, Vine says that it involves the happy anticipation of good. It is not wishful thinking or an insecure, I hope so. But as Vine describes it further, it is a confident expectation. A common definition of hope is desire plus expectation. Notice the importance of hope. Hope is necessary to persevere. In Romans 8 and verse 25, we find these words: if we hope for that we see not, then do with patience wait for it. Regarding the church of the Thessalonians, Paul remembered their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, reads 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Hope is necessary for our motivation to become pure. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure, reads 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Hope is necessary to increase opportunities to evangelize. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Without hope, we not only lose our souls, we won't be any good for saving others. How do we fortify our hope? The Word of God was written to produce hope. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15 and verse 4. Through its revelation of God's dealings with man in the past, we know God keeps His promises. This encourages us to expect Him to deliver on His promises for the future. Peter encourages us to gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Where do we read of the grace that is to come when Christ is revealed? In the Scriptures, of course. Nothing fortifies our hope better than those wonderful passages that reveal the eternal destiny of the saints. When an athlete gets discouraged, he or she is often told to keep your eye on the prize. So the Christian must also, and it is with the aid of God's Word that we can keep our focus where it ought to be. Getting back to the basics will also include an effort to manifest our love. Paul gives the best definition of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Charity, that is love, suffereth long or is patient and is kind. Charity envieth not or is not jealous. Charity vaunteth not itself, that is, love doesn't brag or boast. Is not puffed up or isn't arrogant. Doth not behave itself unseemly, that is, doth not behave itself disgracefully, irritably, or resentfully. Love seeketh not her own or her own benefit. It is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil or doesn't keep an account of wrongs suffered. Someone has suggested that thinketh no evil would imply not assuming the worst motives of others. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity or unrighteousness, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things or keeps every confident, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth, reads 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. A simple definition that is easy to remember, biblical love is active goodwill. Love is of great importance. Expressing love gives us assurance of our salvation. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death, reads 1 John 3:14. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him, 1 John 3:18 and 19. Expressing love assures us that God will answer our prayers. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Reads 1 John 3, verses 22 and 23. Expressing love reassures us that we abide in God and he in us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Reads 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. 1 John 4 and verse 12. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. 1 John 4 and verse 16. How do we manifest our love? Like the Thessalonians, we can be taught by God how to love. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, reads 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 9. Jesus taught us how to love by his sacrificial love. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3 and verse 16. God taught us how to love by giving his Son as a propitiation for our sins. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11. Through careful meditation upon what the Bible reveals concerning God's love for us, we can manifest our love for others. As we continue to list what is involved in getting back to the basics, we would also suggest that we enhance our joy. In defining joy, we will notice that the Greek word chara is closely related to the word charis. Charis, or grace, is undeserved favor, which in turn gives joy, pleasure, delight. Chara, or joy, then, is the response we have to undeserved favor. Someone has suggested to think of joy as the delightful response to the grace we received from God. The importance of joy can be realized by observing its essential element of what constitutes the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit reads Romans 14 and verse 17. Joy lightens the burdens of trials in this life. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9 reads, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." That's 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9. "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoils of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." Reads Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. It is often the loss of this virtue of joy that is most evident in the lives of many Christians. How do we enhance our joy? Both Jesus and His apostles gave us words whereby our joy might be full. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full," reads John 15 and verse 11. Once again, we see the value of daily Bible study. Just as the Bible can strengthen our faith, fortify our hope, manifest our love, so it can enhance our joy. Jesus also stressed the importance of prayer in regards to joy. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full," reads John 16 and verse 24. Answered prayer certainly excites the Christian and increases joy. So to the practice of daily Bible study, a key to getting back to the basics is the habit of regular prayer. There is one more basic we would like to point out this morning before we conclude this study. We should also enjoy our peace. Let's define peace. Vines describes peace as harmonious relations. It is used to describe such harmony between men, between nations, between God and man, and one's own self. A lack of peace often contributes to the spiritual stagnation that afflicts many Christians. Like joy, the importance of peace is realized by observing that it is an essential element of what constitutes the kingdom of God. Romans 14, verses 17 through 19 reads, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Peace with brethren contributes to receiving peace from God. "Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you," read 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. And having peace with God has a positive effect in our peace with our enemies. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him, reads Proverbs 16 and verse 7. If we are going to enjoy our peace, we need to have peace with God first, as the Bible says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 1. Enjoying our peace continues in response to fervent prayer. Be careful for nothing, that is, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Just as prayer can enhance our joy, so can prayer help us to enjoy our peace that surpasses all understanding. In conclusion, faith, hope, love, joy, and peace, simple words yet so essential to the abundant life Jesus has to offer those who come to Him. Why are they often in short supply in the lives of many Christians? Because some neglect two fundamental tools which God provides for them: the spiritual tools of God's Word and the blessed privilege of prayer. Whenever we find ourselves in a spiritual slump, we need to let these two avenues of communication with God be the key to strengthening our faith, fortifying our hope, manifesting our love, enhancing our joy, and enjoying our peace. Restoring the basic elements of the abundant life found only in Christ is not a mystery. Receive the implanted word, James 1, verse 21. Continue earnestly in prayer, Colossians 4, and verse 2. Always remember the urgent need of repentance, lest we perish, Luke 13, 3. And obey through the washing of water by the word, Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. It is just that simple. If we can help you, please come as together we stand and sing.
How sweet will be the welcome home.